Good evening and welcome to a late-breaking edition of StarCast. My name's Eric Francis, host of Planet Waves FM and author of the Planet Waves Horoscope. Tonight's recording is at 11:11:11 p.m. Monday the 13th into Tuesday the 14th of September 2021. There is quite an aspect going on right now as I read, and that aspect is the Sun opposite Neptune. Once a year, the Sun and, let's see, how to explain this. The Sun and Neptune form a straight line with the Earth in the middle. How's that sound? So if you imagine to one side of the Earth is the Sun, the big thing that's kind of toasting us all with heat and light and radiation and all that stuff. To the other side, Neptune, this cool, watery, dreamy, a little bit strange kind of planet that is given to fantasies and dreams and delusions and creativity and the use of substances for inspiration, the abuse of substances. Inspiration in general, it's in that dimension of where, like, the normal meets the creative and the spiritual energy flows in a kind of a tangible way that can sometimes become art but can also easily be corrupted. And there you go. Kind of like the religious impulse can lead to, you know, something beautiful like a library or a hospital, or it can lead to a cult where people are kind of drawn in and have their individuality taken away from them. So all the energies in astrology have two or many more expressions. That said, to one side, the Sun, hot, dry, full of energy. To the other side, Neptune, cool, wet, dreamy. The Sun in Virgo, all about realism and being technically accurate and practical. Neptune in Pisces, who cares about accuracy or being correct or technical? One's beliefs are all that matter, or one's dreams are all that matter. And so this is the dichotomy that we're being not only stretched between, but kind of rotating in the middle of. And the thing lasts long enough for the Earth to go around a couple of times while Neptune and the Sun are in this opposition. And in actual fact, they've been this way for a while. This has been warming up. And at 5:20 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the 14th, overnight, early Tuesday morning in much of the United States, the opposition is exact. But these Neptune aspects tend to last a while. They are Neptune, in my experience, this makes sense once you become familiar with it, has by far the widest orb of all the planets, so wide that you don't really even know when it is in effect. And so what we get, though, is something that's unusual with Neptune in this aspect, which is precision. In the alignment, precisely at 5:20:47 a.m. All right, moving on into the morning, the next thing that happens, September 14th, 5:30, 8:15 p.m., is that Mars, well, the Moon promptly enters Capricorn shortly after the Sun-Neptune exact opposition. Then, by Tuesday night at 8:14 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time, Mars enters Libra. So this is something of a bigger deal than Mars entering other signs for a couple of reasons. One reason is that the first degree of Libra is one of the most powerful parts of the Aries point. The Aries point is the first degree of the zodiac. The first degree of the zodiac has kind of an amplifying power. It is like an echo chamber or a repeating station. Sometimes this can be in your mind. Sometimes it just happens that things that have a strange and unusual way of spreading far and wide involve things that are charts where there's some significant factor close to the Aries point. And when the Aries point is made active, especially by a planet as powerful as Mars, then the effect can be exaggerated, basically, or it can be highly focused. So what's interesting is we've got this Sun-Neptune opposition going on. And then right as that's kind of coming out of exact orb, Mars slips in and is in the first degree of Virgo, very tidy 0000 at 8:13:50 p.m. EDT, all times in this podcast are EDT. So then what Mars is going to do is it's going to be on the cardinal cross. So in addition to that Aries point effect, Mars will make aspects to many planets, for example, that are in early Capricorn. Early Capricorn is a hot spot right now, and this is influencing people who are born, by the way, early in any of the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Capricorn, and Libra, because your sun is in line. If you're born like on the first 2 or 3 days of those signs, 4 days, maybe a little more, born on in line with the quarter, the cross of the Aries point, which extends into those first degrees of the cardinal signs. And now there's planets piled up in Capricorn. And the planets piled up in Capricorn are themselves influential, but they're also doing so in the style of Capricorn and also in the style of the Aries point. So the effects kind of redouble on one another. And with Capricorn, we are seeing Capricorn represents the political and corporate structure. Not Capricorn, the cute guy in the donut shop, but Capricorn, the archetype, the concept of Capricorn. It's a societal thing. All the signs have this. One level is about people. Another level is about society itself. The society level of Capricorn is about corporations, governments, the fusion of the two of them, and the pillars of society, the various establishments, the medical establishment, the legal establishment, this kind of thing. And with this ridiculous amount of energy coming through Capricorn in the form of, first of all, Centaur Pholus, there's a triple conjunction going on in early Capricorn right now. And I always talk about the three, mainly the two planets that have been involved, now a third one involved, as if they were more or less equal. But the reality of them is that Pholus, the second Centaur planet, the very next Centaur discovered after Chiron, Chiron was in 77, Pholus was in 72, there was a 92, there was a gap of about 15 years between the discovery of the first two Centaurs, and then Pholus comes along with huge, enormous energy. That's what it's about. It's about the kind of uncontained, uncontrollable release of energy, and we're seeing this in pure insanity coming out of all of these previously stable pillars of society. We thought Trump dismantling mail machines was bad. That was like a symbolic gesture compared to the subsequent dismantling of all of society, and as if they are all like made of salt and they're being rained on, but in the process they are going insane. And this is largely symbolized by Pholus, but Pholus is also conjunct Quasar. That's a trans-Neptunian point. It's way out past Pluto, but not that far, but a bit past Pluto. That is about the nature of the family back to the beginning. And there's some comment here or perhaps a thing to examine about how the craziness of humanity we're seeing right now, and you have like people in power going bug fuck bonkers nuts, and then everybody else going along with it as if like, oh yeah, sure, this is perfectly normal. I saw a thing from the CDC today telling mothers to socially distance from their infants, okay? Really? Come on. And so Quasar is this, both Pholus and Quasar talk about the impact and influence of the family. And Capricorn is also of the family. And then enter a third little planet called Ixion, which is about the complete absence of morality. And so there's a triple conjunction going on involving a number of points that involve the family in the sign of both the family and the government. And that this new point is adding the flavor of amorality to it. I mean, that certainly does sum things up. And now, in a sense, you might say that the individual Mars in Libra, in like relationship or relationship to existence, is going to come along and push, provoke, and challenge all of that. And so over the next week or so, the first phase of Mars's journey through Libra is going to be challenging this Pholus Quaoar Ixion conjunction, and kind of it's almost like sparking it or pushing it in some way. And so we're definitely coming into some form of power struggle of some kind, this may be very productive depending on how it's exercise. Now, the thing to remember is right now for where we are, in addition to what I promised to start with and forgot to start with, Mercury is starting to get retrograde-y. That doesn't happen for a while. If you listen to the immediately previous show, I give a wrap about the Mercury retrograde in general and the forthcoming Mercury retrograde at the end of the immediately prior show. I think that's the Friday program or something. Anyway, what we're heading to with Mars doing all this stuff out of Libra, in itself, prone to, well, not necessarily fully understand its power. Let's say Mars and Libra, not quite getting what its degree of influence is. You can go easy if you have to make a point. By the way, one does not need to be vociferous in this time that we're in with Mars and Libra. We're about to be in Libra. It is okay to take a direct but light touch in your communications. Anyway, all of this is heading into the full moon on September 20. The day of the week is, I'm going to imagine, 1 week from right now, the 20th. What day is this? I'm looking at calendar for June 2019. Now, why was I looking at that? I was researching COVID in that era. 2021, 21, July, August, September, October, what month is it? September. Today's the 13th. The full moon is in 1 week. It is on the 20th. And then that is going to be, so that's a full moon in Pisces, the moon in Pisces, and the sun in very late Virgo. And then, of course, the next major thing that happens is that the sun enters Libra for the autumnal equinox. That's September 22nd. 2021 at 3:21 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, September 22nd, being the birthday of Bilbo and Frodo Baggins. Thanks for tuning in. Lots going on the planetwaves.net website, and some cool new stuff up on the planetwaves.fm website. For those of you far flung in the corners of the internet, you're listening to Starcast, a part of Planet Waves. PlanetWaves.net. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Drop us a note. Stay in touch.